This morning we're going to take a look at a text that really Jesus really makes it known that it's not the outside that makes us evil or wrong, but really what comes from within. And this is a hard one for us because we, for the most part, judge on the outside. And in that, we become a lot like the people whom Jesus told this first parable about. Because in the parable, the Pharisees, or just before the parable, the Pharisees come to question Jesus. And he then tells them about how they are defiled. And it is not something that comes from outside. It's what comes from inside. And the corrective for what comes from inside does actually come from outside. It is the action of God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to wash us of that defilement and of that sin. And because of that action, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defile a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter a man's mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of Cana came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Please be seated. Now in chapter 13 and 14 of this the Gospel of Matthew, you see Jesus performing miracles and the people starting to be swayed to understand that he's something special. And the Pharisees now and the scribes are very upset because he and his disciples are doing things that aren't in accordance with their written code that they have set up above and beyond the law of Moses. And to understand this, we have to understand that the law of Moses was written in both Exodus and then through Leviticus, and it was very specific. But above and beyond that, the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and through the generations, wrote another book that was just detailed how many steps you could take, how you did your hand washings, all these different things. What was supposed to be done. And these became on the same level as what God had given in the first place. So these traditions of men were now at the same place. And the reason that Jesus gives this talk actually is in the beginning of chapter 15. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, so it sounds as if they were sent by the temple leaders to ask these questions. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. And see, this is the reason that Jesus begins this whole line of talking about how you are defiled. And he calls all the people around him, and he says, hear and understand. It is not that which goes into the mouth which defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a person. Now this is something that sounds good to us in a certain way. Well, yeah, that's right. It's what comes out. But that's really not how we look at human beings. We really look at the outsides. How do they perform what we know to be Christian? Do they do the proper things? Do they make sure that they follow the proper set of rules and regulations? Because if they don't, then I don't know if they're Christian. Do they go to the right church? Do they say the right words? And it's really interesting because we're going to deal with that as we get to the end of the text. Or are they the right type of people? You see, all these things in our minds, whether we like to admit them or not, we're kind of like the Pharisees. Because we got a set of rules that we think everybody who is a Christian must follow. And we gather around people like ourselves so that, yes, we've got this Christian thing figured out. And Jesus goes to upset the apple cart. You see, the Pharisees and scribes, they knew the rules. They were really good at following them. They followed them all the time. To the point of Paul who wrote Romans, from which we heard of before, says, as to following the law, blameless. They could get to the point where they felt themselves blameless of breaking God's law. Now, those of us who understand that it is out of our heart that sin comes, understands that none of us have that ability to be blameless. And Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, cuts to the quick. To the point that he says is, if you hate your brother or are mad at your brother, you are guilty of murder. If you look upon another human being with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. He makes everyone level on the playing field. There is no human being that can live up to the righteous requirements of the law. And so when the Pharisees hear this thing, his disciples say, don't you know that when the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And Jesus really doesn't care. Because he goes on to explain something. He answered them and says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. What he's saying here is that these people are teaching you to follow these traditions and these laws, and they are saying that this is what it means to be a righteous follower of God. And Jesus Christ says they're blind. And they're leading people directly into the pit. And we have to be careful that we don't become those that would lead people down the wrong path. We have to be careful that we don't set up these rules and these laws. Well, this is the way you become a Christian, and this is the only way in which that you can be a Christian. It again reminds me of this story that my friend Clay told me about going to the alternative church in Portland, where there wasn't many people in that church that looked like us. There wasn't many suits or nice things. There were raggedy clothes, tattoos, piercings of every shape and form. And the pastor gets up and tells that crowd, "You know, there's Christians out in the suburbs too. You see, they don't look like us, so they must not be Christian." And of course, we get offended a lot of times when people don't look and act like us. And we tell them, maybe not exactly, but you better look and act like us and think like us, or I can't allow you or can't believe you're a Christian. We become blind. And Peter goes on, he says, "Hey, explain this to us." And Jesus says, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that everything that goes into the mouth and passes into the stomach is expelled? So this whole hand washing thing is not that big a deal. It's what comes out of you. And what comes out of your mouth that proceeds from your heart, and this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. All this we have in this building, within Christianity. Whether we like to admit it or not, all this is in here. In this flesh, we are defiled. The problem is, we like to somehow think of ourselves as holy and righteous by our own actions. And that is not the thing that makes us holy and righteous. The thing that makes us holy and righteous is what God has done. We sang about it today. That God allowed His Son upon that cross. He allowed His Son to be nailed to it, to bleed and to die, to wash away our sins. That's what makes us holy and righteous. It's not because we follow some list. It's not because I have short hair. It's not because I don't have an earring. It's not because I don't go to dances or I don't do all these things. And it's not because I do certain things like go to Bible study and go to church and to do those things. Not that those things are bad. But that's not what makes us righteous. What makes us righteous and what makes people righteous is what God did by sending His Son. What comes out is what defiles us. Not people, or not when one eats with unwashed hands. It's not the lists that make us righteous. It is the action of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit and the Word working in and through us that we would have faith. That we would be brought to the knowledge that we indeed are sinners and we indeed have been justified by the action of God. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. And now there's no distinction in people, is what Paul says in verse 12 of chapter 10 of Romans. For there is no more distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all. This is the thing that we must remember. And that's really what the second half of our text talks about. Because the scribes and the Pharisees would look at a Canaanite woman as unable to approach God. If you were a Canaanite, you were an idol worshiper. That's the whole history of the Canaanites. They were the ones that God had the Jews drive out of the land of Israel. And yet, we see something here. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now here is a Canaanite woman, someone who absolutely would not be considered as part of the family of God. She can't be. There's no way. Yet she knows something about Jesus Christ. Whether she has heard how this all takes place, we don't have any idea. And she becomes a pest. Because Jesus didn't answer her. And His disciples came begging Him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This was His mission. Was those scribes and those Pharisees, the Israelites, those who were born into the covenant made with Abraham. Made after the flesh. But this woman does not give up. She came, knelt before Him, worshiping, saying, "Lord, help me." And He said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Literally, Jesus calls her a dog. Now we know our Lord is Lord of both. And He does this as an example. I truly believe that. He's not supposed to have anything to do with this woman. It's kind of like in many instances we're taught, well, we're not supposed to have anything to do with those sinners out there. We can't deal with them. Some of that might rub off on us. We might be tainted with their sin. Well, for one thing, we know if we actually understand, we can't be tainted with their sin because we got too much of our own. And the other thing to understand is to look upon them as God looks upon them. As forgiven. By His cleansing of the sin of the world. And this woman shows how God has worked in her. Because she says this to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She's saying, "All I want is the crumbs of your mercy. All I want is that little bit that happens to be fall upon the floor." And it will be enough. This woman, who shouldn't even be able to approach God, shows her faith and her belief. Most of the time, these would be the type of people that we would push away. And Jesus kind of does that. And I think setting up his disciples for this final thing, because he knew that this woman's faith was that strong. And he answered, "O woman, great is your faith." And this is the thing that makes her righteous. In the face of the reality that she can't be, according to the laws of the Old Testament, she can't be righteous. She can't even approach God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, "Great is your faith." There was no form. How many people would think that this is the way to go witness Jesus Christ to people? Call him a dog. But Jesus knows what he's doing. And he as this woman approaches, he's setting his disciples up to let them know that, listen, I am for everyone. For the whole world. God has looked upon the world and loved us. That's all people. Even if they don't look like us, act like us, or follows the same set of rules. If they believe in the person of Jesus Christ and the faith and receive the faith that he has given them and don't reject what God has done for them through him, they are his. And who are we to judge his children? "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus Christ used the faith of someone who could not believe. Someone who was called to be blinded to God. And shows that she can have faith. And those who followed the rules absolutely flawlessly, the scribes and the Pharisees, he calls blind guides. You see, Jesus Christ sets the world upside down. The whole thing is flip-flopped. Those who think they are holy are not. Those who understand who they are and where their sin comes from, and that it is washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, know that they are saved. And this is the only thing that we are to judge Christianity upon. Do they believe? Believe, and you will be saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for the faith that you have given each and every one of us. We ask that you would help to strengthen that faith, that you would help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, not only that, but that we would then go forth and proclaim this to our friends and our neighbors, our family, and all those who we come in contact with. That, Father, we would share the message of your gospel with all people. That we would not hold it to those who look and act like us, but we would seek those who need your help and your love. Father, thank you for all that you continue to do for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, in his name we pray these things.